Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today. Have you ever looked at a long list of Bible names and thought, what's the point in all this? I mean, what if I told you that buried in the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5 was a hidden message from God himself? A message that reveals his plan to save all humanity. My guest today, again, is Scott Wright. He's the author and the host of the God Center Concepts Journal and podcast. And he has a powerful way of connecting scripture in today's world. And today, he's going to help us uncover that divine blueprint woven into Genesis 5, a chapter that most people just gloss over when they read it. So, help me welcome to the program, Scott Wright. Scott, it's a blessing to talk with you today, brother. I'm glad you're here.
Hey, great to be here, Bob, and look forward to another fun, fruitful discussion.
Amen, amen. Well, let's start with a basic question. Why is Genesis 5, a chapter full of genealogies, so important to understanding God's plan?
Well, first of all, when you come across these genealogies are actually the key to basically apologetics, because these genealogies are how we connect all of not only God's word to timing, but also all of prophecy. Prophecy is connected through these genealogies. And, you know, when we look at Genesis 5 and we look at the genealogy of this, you know, we get an understanding of why the stories were so well known and so powerful, because if you go and look at how long they lived and you start timing out, like, who was alive and connecting to who, Genesis 5 shows this. A lot of people don't realize that other than Adam and Seth, if you look at that genealogy, from Enosh, with the exception of Enoch, but Enosh, Kenan, Mahalel, and forgive me if I say that wrong, Jared, Methuselah, and Lamech, and then Noah. Noah would have known almost every one of these guys.
Yeah.
And the thing is Adam and Seth would have known everybody but Noah. Mm-hmm. And so it would have been easy to continue and keep those stories and the accuracy of all the stories that we now have. You would now know this. I mean, Adam, you know, has to admit to all of these guys his mistake, and so does Eve. And so they would have been connected to all of them. I mean, you're talking about 10 generations here on the board that are all firsthand information. And one of the things that we always look for is in a historical present, in a historical way, is we always want to have a primary source. Well, guess what? These guys are all connected to the primary source.
Yeah, amen. You know, I've done the study on this and preached on it several times where when Abraham met Melchizedek. Well, if you trace Melchizedek, there's a lot of verification that he was Seth. So, I mean, you know, I'm hoping I'm not messing that up, but Noah's sons, right? Ham, Japheth, and what was the other one?
Ham, Japheth.
Canaan was the one that was cursed. Okay, so so Ham is not Seth. Ham, and so Abraham knew. And by this time, you know, if you do the population expansion, you know, and all that, you know, there's millions of people now, right? But Abraham would have known that his genealogy traced back that far.
Yep.
To Noah's Day. And everybody's heard about, you know, the flood, because that's where they came out of. That's their lineage. And they, everybody knows who Seth is. And he's now the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And then one day after that battle, he comes and shows up to see Abraham. So all this ties together, just like you said, you know, when you do the connections on the numbers and the names, and you find out who is still alive when all this stuff's going on, it's really amazing. It really is.
It really is. And what it does is it verifies the truth of the story that, you know, Noah's not taking this from a fifth hand account. He's taking this basically from a first hand account.
That's right.
And amen. And what's really interesting, and this was just a little side piece for you guys. Do you realize Methuselah dies the same year the flood starts?
That's right.
If you do the math, and he dies the same year. Now, was he killed in the flood?
Well, I think they said that
they think he died before
7 days. Seven days before, because 7 days was day of mourning, and you know that's. You know, they said, "All right, boy, get in the boat."
Well, hey, maybe he found out he wasn't getting in the boat, and he just died of a heart attack because he didn't want to deal with the God's wrath.
Amen. Hey, you know, we'll find out soon when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that will be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, why do you think though God chose to reveal his redemptive plan this way through genealogy? I mean, what does that tell us about how intentional God is and everything he's doing?
Because basically, here's what I think is going on here. So after Adam and Eve sin, okay, they have physically been in the presence of God. And all of the reason all these people live so long, except for Enoch, and even he lives, you know, for 365 years, but he's raptured to heaven.
Yeah.
The reason is because God wanted to see, their presence of God is the way I'm going to put this. Them living in his presence just allowed them to live longer.
Yeah.
It did, because their bodies, when you are in the presence of God, it gives you nourishment. It just does. It makes your body be able to live longer, to do more. People don't understand that. A lot of people don't, but it does, because in his presence, he is eternal. And so that's why it took a while for the number of years to start falling.
Plus, the human body with Adam and Eve, the human body didn't know how to get sick. It didn't know how to die. It had to learn how to do that.
Exactly. And the earth was much more inhabitable and much more fruitful until the flood.
Yeah.
You know, not only does God destroy the earth or destroy all of humanity and all the living, and not just humanity, but all the living beings that were living at that time with the flood, but it also makes the earth more uninhabitable.
Mm-hmm.
So things start to deteriorate in life, becomes more difficult. And so naturally you weren't going to live as long. And God created that. And, you know, eventually he does number the years to 120. And we know that in Genesis. Well, guess what? He just could naturally do that by making the earth less inhabitable, making it much more difficult. Do we even know if there were deserts before the flood? Do we know how the mountains, or if there was these big, massive mountains and gulfs and hard places to travel across? A lot of those places may have been inhabitable until after the flood, and then it changed everything. I don't think people realize what that flood actually did. I mean, when we are finding shark remains on the top of mountaintops, then that pretty much tells you the story of the flood and verifies what happened. And archaeologists have found that type of stuff. So, but this genealogy is so fascinating. If you stop and do the math, it's all about doing the math. And then you start to realize, hey, Enosh knows Noah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Adam's grandson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just start going through and seeing that. And what's really interesting about this is that Adam is the first. And then we get to Enoch. Enoch is number seven, which in God terms, seven is completeness, perfection. Yeah. Well, who was the one that found the most favor in God's eyes? Enoch.
Yeah.
God spared him death at all and raptured him into heaven. And then number eight is Methuselah, which is kind of new beginnings is what and the number eight signifies. And then we get to 10, and Noah, again, is the one that finds favor. Well, who, think about this. There is actually a book supposedly written by Enoch, or at least about him. All right. Well, and that did not make it into all the Bibles. I do believe it's in the Ethiopian Bible. And I have read most of it. So it's fascinating. It's a fascinating read if you ever just take some time and read it. But Noah, again, was the one that found favor in God's eyes. Enoch and Noah on this list are the two that found favor in his eyes. And so, and they, and all these guys are connected through all the same story. They would have been teaching each other. Yeah. They would have been, because they didn't have televisions. That's not how they did it. It was oral tradition. You know, their writings weren't, they weren't as good. They weren't as sophisticated with their writing because they didn't have the materials yet. But this was the time when sophistication was really starting to grow. And so, and we know that because we can read the Bible and see how things are attached to certain people. So, but these genealogies, they are our connection to the beginning. They are our connection to that, all that, that really those first 9-10 chapters of the Bible to get us to really understand how this all came to be.
Amen. Well, how does this early revelation connect to Jesus and the gospel message?
Well, obviously, we already know the fall of Adam and Eve. That's where the gospel starts. It does. And Adam would have been talking. Adam and Eve would have been teaching all of these guys about what happened. And God already had a plan to renew human beings. He loved human beings. And the very fact that he saved Noah, the very fact that he saved Enoch like he did, tells you how much that he loved his creation. And he wanted to keep his creation. And so through Noah, we survive. Through Noah comes the line of Jesus. Through Noah, the gospel is possible. Think about that. So we get the, I always think of it like this. We get the breakdown because of what happens in Genesis 3 of Adam and Eve. We get the breakdown with Adam. But we get the replenishment, we get the restoration, and we really get the gospel through Noah. We really do. Think about it. What does God do? What does Christ say? I make all things new. Well, isn't that what happens with the story of Noah and the flood? God makes all things new. He does.
Yep.
He basically reorganizes the earth to make it fit a redemptive plan. Plus, what was happening, and part of the reason to make the earth a little less inhabitable and make it harder to live longer, okay, to live past that 120 years, God was actually helping us. Because what was happening is people were living this long, they just found more ways to become evil and be entrenched in that evilness.
Yeah.
And so I think that is also a part of this story. And in a way, that is also a very powerful piece of the gospel. Is that God doesn't want us to live in this life for so long that we forget him.
Yeah.
He wants this life to be short, a snapshot, and our eternity to be our focus. But if you're going to live 1,000 years, your life here is going to be your focus.
Yeah.
But if you're not even going to live 100 years, your life to eternity will be more of a focus. And what does Christ say? For those who try to save their life, they will lose it. But those who lose their life for the sake of the gospel shall save it.
Amen. Amen.
So you know, it's not about this life.
Right. And this time, I mean, the world seems more divided now than ever before. So what does Genesis 5 teach us about, you know, that legacy connection and God's desire to preserve humanity, but still... here we are today trying to destroy humanity, it seems like.
Exactly. Well, You know, the thing is every human being can trace their roots to Noah and Noah's three sons. All of us. You know, it's funny. I've studied my genealogy. I know it really well. There's some really fascinating things, and I would encourage everybody out there to do that. But eventually, if you can find the information, and of course, it's not all perfectly recorded, but you will eventually trace to one of the three sons of Noah. Eventually, that's where you're going to end up.
Yep.
And you're going to end up at Noah. So in a way, and so I'm going to go ahead and this is another fun way, you know, obviously in human societies, or all the cultures across the world, there's, you know, different forms of ethnicism, racism, whatever you want to call it, however you want to, you know, I guess pronounce that or whatever you want to label it as. This dispels any of those theories. There is no such thing as racism because everybody comes from Noah. We all come from the same spot. Okay. There's no way to escape that. We are all born of the seed of Noah. And that is such a powerful thing. Well, guess what? So is Jesus. Jesus was born through Noah. He was. His line comes from Noah, just like ours. And so he also proves that he came as a human being, God as a human. He was both God and man. And through that seed and being connected to us through that same seed, he is the one that can redeem us. He fulfills all the prophecies, but it really starts because he came from the same seed that we did, the seed of Noah.
Amen. Amen. That's good. You know, and this is so eye-opening. And, you know, I know, I mean, we're just glossing over everything right here.
Oh, yeah.
Theologians have been diving into this for centuries, you know.
We could write 10 books on this. I mean.
Yeah, and still just be glossing over.
Exactly. I mean, we could spend 30 podcasts and not even scratch all the surfaces.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this has been eye-opening, to say the least. You know, most people would not expect such a powerful salvation message to be hidden just in a list of names that most people are like, yeah, okay. Yep, I read Genesis 5. Take like 3 minutes, you know, type thing. I'm done. But, you know, that's the beauty of Scripture, though. You know, if you take your time and just look at it and ponder it and then catch something, like I said, you know, I did that study on, you know, Abraham and you know, Melchizedek and the links all the way back to Noah and his sons, you know, and that was an eye-opening, you know, like, wow, you know, here you're thinking, you know, centuries and centuries later and all this stuff, but yet they're still connected. And they knew each other. They actually met, you know, not know like, you know, hey, we're going to go to, you know, Seth's family reunion. Come on, let's go. But, you know, we did a genealogy search. Oh, gosh, this is probably, I want to say 15 years ago. And we found out that, you know, we were related through some, you know, 16th cousin who married somebody, you know, to President George Bush at the time. Right.
Yep.
And so it'd be like, oh, cool. You know, hey, cuz, how you doing? You know, but I still couldn't get in the White House.
You know? No, exactly. I mean, it doesn't change anything.
Right. But, at the same time, it was, you know, for my grandkids, they thought that was really cool. You know, that, wow, you know, this, you know, our great, 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 great cousin. You know, was married to George Bush's great, 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 great grandmother or something, you know, somewhere along those lines. And, but, you know, just knowing that was kind of cool. Well, same thing. Abraham knew who Melchizedek was, you know, way down the line, but probably had never met the dude. Right.
Nope.
And then one day the knock comes at the door, and who's standing there but Melchizedek and all his entourage with him.
Hey, he had a posse before there were posses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. But you only understand that when you actually dive into the Scriptures and let God lead you through it. You can read it, And you can even study it. But until you go to the Lord and say, show me what it is you want me to see here, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead that search.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, that's where the scriptures open up.
Praise exactly. God. Amen. Hey, so, you know, it's interesting looking at the gospel and end time prophecy and the culmination of all things. You know, God also inkles this. He kind of gives a little sprinkle to that message, kind of a, like a little prelude, so to speak, or you know, hey, this might happen in the future. Think about it. Who was raptured? Enoch.
Yeah.
He's raptured right here. Yeah. It already talks about the story. It's verified.
Yeah. Amen.
So,
amen.
And there's no way they could have all escaped it, because do you know how many of these people that Enoch knew?
Yeah.
Other than Noah? Yeah. All of them knew. Yeah. So it was already there. He already knew the stories. Enoch was already, you know, and he lived, what, 365 years, and then he was raptured.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating beyond description. So he's already giving us a prelude of something that will happen at some point later. Just like the redemption of Noah, you know, there's going to be, he's going to destroy the earth, and then he's going to reset it. He's going to do a reset. Well, guess what? What is the book of Revelation? Yeah. It's he's going to have to change it and do a great reset, just like he did with Noah.
And you know, one way of looking at it is, you know, the rapture is just another version of getting in the ark.
Yep, it is. It is. Hey, we're. It is. I mean, that's just so true. So
Amen. Amen. And you know, after 40 days, you get off and everything's new. So anyway, praise God. Scott, this has been so good. If someone has a question or they like more information, maybe invite you to do an interview such as this, how do they get in touch with you?
So the first thing they can do is they can email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. And I will also tell you that when you guys are listening to this, we'll be really close to releasing our YouTube channel. We are,
amen.
We're right there. We've got all the equipment in. We're now getting ready to do all the checks this weekend, and we are getting close. And so what I'm going to go ahead and do is at tswright-gcc will be our handle name on YouTube TV, or just YouTube. So that will be the handle name. That is preset. It is set in stone. So we are now moving forward. I know I've been talking about this for a long time, and it seems like nothing was moving. It is now on the move. So right now,
the
biggest things we need is we need help. We need to raise a little money. And then we also need to just mainly get people to the channel to subscribe and to like the videos. So,
amen.
Hey,
amen.
Well, I'll put call to action, my friend. Notes. All that.
That's right. I'll put links, all that down the show notes below. Praise the Lord. Folks, Genesis 5 may look like a simple list of names, but Scott's showing us today it's actually a divine blueprint revealing God's plans to humanity. I mean, from Adam to Noah, the names themselves form a prophetic message that just points us to Jesus, the one who would come to bring rest to the weary and hope to the lost. The chapter reminds us that God's plan is never random. It's intentional, it's personal, and filled with purpose. Amen. If God can speak through genealogy of all things, he can certainly work through your life too. Amen. Connect with Scott down in the show notes. Learn more about everything he's got going on. Scott, thank you again for taking the time today to join us. I do appreciate it, brother.
Hey, it was great to be here, and look forward to another fun one here in the near future.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Scott Wright and myself, Pastor Bob, reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com. And be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.